Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
What the Lord gave me this morning, which is going to have particular relevance for all of you who are going out on mission today. There are two basic needs that everybody has. And of course, in the gospel, God has met those two needs. The first is acceptance. And so through the gospel of salvation, men are made acceptable to God, women also, but people are made acceptable to God. Righteousness is acceptance. Justification is to be made acceptable in God's sight. So people go looking for acceptance in all kinds of ways, often in wrong ways. The other is peace. And that's where we're going to focus this morning. Everybody needs, desires acceptance, but everybody longs to be at peace. Now, the interesting thing is how Jesus puts the emphasis on the peace. In former times of revival in past generations and so on, when the Spirit of God has moved, particularly in evangelistic ways, there was always a central emphasis on peace. People would be asked not, have you been saved, or do you know the love of God, but are you at peace? Have you made your peace with God? And people wouldn't be led to the Lord by saying a sinner's prayer in a kind of a superficial way, but they would have come to what was called the penitence bench, which was like a place where you could kneel at the front of the chapel. You'd find that all this was the case in the 17th, 18th centuries. This is how, if you go into the old chapels, you can still see the evidence of this. They'd either come to the penitence bench. Nobody would pray for them, but they would kneel there, pouring out their hearts to God until they were at peace with Him, until they knew that all their sins were forgiven. They knew that God had imparted to them a new life. This was the way they responded to the gospel. If they didn't go to the penitent bench in some chapels, behind the pulpit, there was another room which was called the seeker's room. And people would go into that room and they would seek God on their knees until they were at peace with God. That's a pretty good way to come to the Lord, you see, because if people come to the Lord in that way on their own, they've got a really firm foundation for the rest of their Christian life. During that whole process, they would have to have faced all the sin and issues in their lives that brought tension between them and God, between them and others. Otherwise, they would not have been able to come to that place of peace. Now, if we just look at some of the things that are said in the New Testament very quickly. When the angels appeared to the shepherds at the time of Jesus' birth, they said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and his peace to men on earth." All that God was going to unfold through the life, ministry, the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus was to bring peace. Peace between God and man, peace in people's own soul life, peace with others. And you remember Jesus wept over Jerusalem because of the disobedience and resistance to his ministry. And he said, "If you only listen today to what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from you and you cannot see it." Jesus came with the gospel of peace. And of course, peace was his parting gift to the disciples. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, the kind of peace that the world cannot give, my peace I give to you." So Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, says, "He is our peace." And this is the peace that is beyond understanding, but the peace of God that will keep your hearts and minds at one with Christ Jesus. So it's not only making peace with God at the beginning of our Christian experience, but living in that peace so we stay in that unity with him. And then when he's writing to Colossians, he says, "As members of the one body of Christ, you have been called to live at peace with all the other members." Peace with God, peace with others, peace with ourselves. And to the Thessalonians, he says, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." Peace is God's purpose. Right at the end of Hebrews, the writer too there talks about the God of peace. "May the God of peace equip you in every way necessary to enable to do his will." It's the gospel of peace. And the reason why this is so important is the Lord just laid on my heart that many of you are going to have conversations and encounters with people who need peace today. You will find that there are issues in their lives which have caused them really to be living with a total lack of peace. And that this is going to be like a key word that will be a springboard to their hearts. Don't get involved in discussions about, you know, why is there evil in the world and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Aim for the heart and what people need. They need peace. The reason why there are so many, so much agitation, so many social issues is because people live in the lack of peace. Why do people commit suicide? Because they have absolutely no peace. So they just want to end it because they think that will give them peace. That will opt out of whatever situations have totally undermined peace. Now, of course, because peace is right at the heart of God's will and purpose for us, the enemy will do everything to seek to undermine peace. That's not difficult for those who belong to the world. They're not at peace anyway. But it's important for us, if we're going to go out with the gospel of peace, to be at peace ourselves. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with others. All sin causes guilt. And guilt is a total lack of peace. So what the Holy Spirit does when somebody is coming to the Lord, he has to convict them of sin. And what that does is stir up the sense of guilt, and people see they are not at peace. You only have to ask people, you know, are there any things in your life that they regret? And always the answer to that is the things that destroyed their peace. And for some people, of course, there's a long catalogue of things that have undermined peace in their lives. There is no peace in the flesh, because Jesus says, in your flesh there dwells nothing good. So people in the world think that if they satisfy the flesh, they will find peace. But in actual fact, satisfying the flesh undermines peace. It's a contradiction to peace. So people get everything they have. This is why it's so difficult for the wealthy to come into the kingdom of God, because they have everything that they could want in worldly terms, but they're still not at peace. And if you've ever had anything to do with leading wealthy people to the Lord, this is always the entrance into them. Is it Horsham or Crawley you're going to today? Horsham. Oh, there are a few wealthy people in Horsham, not so many in Crawley. But you see, people can have everything in a worldly sense and still not be at peace. And one of the great old revival choruses is, it is well with my soul. Now we know that we have peace because of our position in Christ. God has done all that is necessary for us to be at peace with him. But if we want peace in our souls, that means peace in our minds, not a whole lot of thoughts that disturb our peace. Now this is where the enemy, you see, seeks to stir up the flesh to undermine the peace. He is a thief, and you'll find the first thing that he robs a Christian of is peace. He's the accuser. Why? To try to destroy peace. He's a liar and deceiver. Why? Because he's trying to undermine that peace. So we take the shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the enemy that he fires at us to try to rob us of the peace that we have with Christ. So part of taking that shield of faith is to parry all the thoughts that come from the flesh or come from the devil and actually have nothing to do with being at one in the peace of God. Peace in our emotions. See how the devil tries to stir up wrong emotions? So many people live by their emotions rather than by faith. And the other part of the soul life, of course, is the will. So the enemy tries to create the impression that if people do what they want, they will be happy, successful, and at peace. Whereas in fact, you can have everything you want and do all that you want, and the end result is you have no peace. So you know when you're at peace. When are you at peace with God? When there's no issues between you and God. You know you're submitted to his will. You know you're not walking in any deliberate sin. All kinds of things may be coming against you, but you know you're not compromising. You're totally at one with him in his peace. That gives you confidence, confidence in prayer, confidence in your witness, confidence in your relationships, confidence in every other area of your life, because you're at peace. You're at peace with God. And if you're at peace with God, you're at peace with yourself. And you can repel all these false things from the enemy, all these lies and accusations and deception and all that he wants to try to bring against you falsely. And of course, if you're at peace with God, it's so much easier then to be at peace with others. To realize that you're only at peace with him because of his mercy, and therefore that enables you to be much more merciful towards others than you would otherwise be. Ready to forgive, ready to be patient, ready to be kind and generous. Not soft, but strong. Not hard-hearted, but strong. All those really are the blessings of peace. And so, as we just read in Hebrews, the God of peace wants to equip you in every way to do his will. It's like a key theme that runs through the scriptures. I've only just quoted some from the New Testament, not the Old Testament, but it's there, of course, in both. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who bring the peace of God into the lives of others. The scriptures don't say anything like this about love, actually. It's all focusing on the peace. Of course, if you come to a place of knowing you're accepted by God, you then know you're loved by God. And if you come to a place of peace, it's because you're at one with him in his love. But just talking about the love doesn't get people to the place of peace. So it's a wonderful thing that we can say to people that God can bring them to a place of peace where they know they're forgiven. They know they're accepted, and then they can know they are loved. You see, people in the world, they go seeking after acceptance in the wrong way. They think if they get into some kind of relationship, often a physical relationship with someone else, it's going to give them acceptance. And it so often ends in frustration, not acceptance, because it's not necessarily love, certainly not love in its purest form, the love of God, but love that seeks the welfare of others, because they find that in those relationships, people have got their own agendas, and that although you know they might have been told they were loved, actually that person had a selfish agenda in that relationship. And we're not really seeking the best for the other person, but we're seeking the best for themselves. When we're at peace, it's because that love, the genuine love, the real love of God, is being expressed in our lives. And we are concerned for the welfare of the other, and not just looking at situations from our own selfish, self-centered standpoint. So there's close relationship between the love and the peace, and there's a close relationship in Scripture between peace and joy. Because what actually brings that joy is being at a place of peace with God. So, peace, this peace of God has got nothing to do with silence. You know, everybody could be silent here on their faces, but that doesn't mean they're at peace. But nothing to do with silence. It's all to do with knowing that you're fully forgiven, accepted, free. But when you're at peace, that peace releases a tremendous sense of thanksgiving to God. I once had, I don't know why this stands out, but I can remember it as clear as anything. I once had an experience. I was staying in Australia, and I was staying with a family who had a house right on the coast. And in the early morning, I got up and I went out. It was a beautiful morning. And I just walked along the beach a bit, and there was sort of some rocks there. And I sat on this rock, this beautiful morning, and I've never, ever known such a sense of total, utter well-being, of being completely at peace. And it wasn't the situation, it wasn't the beauty of the surroundings or the sea or anything like that. There was just this overwhelming sense of well-being. And that's really what peace is. Just a total sense of well-being. And it was such an amazing thing. I'm talking to you about it now, and it was just a momentary thing for a few minutes. Once in my life, I've never known that sort of intensity of well-being, I don't think, at any other time. But it was as if I was just totally one with God at that moment, and that brought about this complete sense of well-being, of peace, utter, complete peace. And I believe that's God's purpose for all of us. Not just have times like that. As I say, that was only one time thing for me, but he does want us to be in this place of peace, of well-being. And that's what everybody out there wants. You've only got to, if you're going to Horsham today, to stand in Swan Walk, for example, or else the Carfax or anywhere, and just watch people. And you can see how many people are not at peace. They just are not at peace. And it's written all over their faces. It's written all over their body language. And yet we know the God of peace. And we know the God who wants to bring peace into their lives. So we're going to pray now. We're going to spend a little bit of time coming into that peace ourselves. And then we're going to pray for these conversations that you're going to have today, where you will be able to speak to people about the peace, that the love, acceptance, and forgiveness of God will bring into their lives. The peace of God that is beyond all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. What a tremendous blessing to know that we're at peace with God. If you're at peace with Him, you know you're loved by Him, you know you're accepted by Him, you know it is well. It is well with my soul. Shall we all stand? Just come into the middle here. Just remember what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. He bore our infirmities, He carried our sicknesses, as well as our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. I've told you how the healing groups we had in my church in the 70s only prayed the word of God over people's lives. We never used our own words, we just spoke scripture over people's lives and saw all these miracles happening. The scripture we used more often than any other was, "My peace I give to you." Because it's the key to healing. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon Him, and by His stripes we're healed. People quote that by His stripes they're healed, and they forget there's an "and" there. But the healing by His stripes is the result of the peace. And that what people need is peace in their spirits, peace in their souls, peace in their bodies. So much disease is caused by tension, lack of peace in the mind, in the emotions, and the body reacts to that. Some doctors say 90% of physical things are caused by that lack of peace. Others say it's only 70%, but whichever is true, it's a big proportion of physical things are actually the result of a lack of peace. God knew that. So He laid the punishment that brought us peace upon Jesus, so that then we could know His healing of spirit, soul, and body. So are we ready? Let's thank the Lord then for this peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that peace, Lord. Your peace. Peace with you. Peace beyond our natural understanding. Peace that enables us to be one with the God of peace. We thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can be at peace with you ourselves this morning. Doesn't matter where we were yesterday or where we will be tomorrow. Today you want us to be in that place of peace with you. So thank you, Lord, that as we go out today in your name, there will be no outstanding issues between yourself and ourselves. That we're not resisting your will in any way. That we're not holding on to any known sin. We're not walking in any deliberate sin. But we know your mercy, we know your forgiveness. And thank you that that forgiveness brings us peace. Thank you, Lord, we don't even need to go out in fear, but knowing the peace of God will keep us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Korata paria leto bakala sutri santo. Lasandaria leto bakala sita. Thank you, Lord. There's no stubbornness of heart, no resistance to your will and purpose that would undermine our peace, that we're not giving any opportunity to the devil, not allowing him to undermine that peace in any way whatsoever. Thank you that your word says you will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is fixed on you. Thank you, that's your word, Lord. Thank you that you're going to keep us in perfect peace as we submit our minds, our thinking, our emotions, our will to your will, O Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that the devil is a loser. Amen. And we are victorious. Amen. Thank you that he's not going to undermine our peace in any way whatsoever today or any day. We're going to guard our hearts and guard this peace that is in our hearts by your mercy, your grace, your love. Praise your holy name. Bless you, Jesus. Purata paria leto bakala sataria leto bakala zutri santo. Basandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sitri sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Purata paria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala zutri. Vasandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sutri sandama. Vasandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto. Thank the Lord that you can say, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. I'm at peace with you, Lord. Now thank him for being at peace with yourself. Oh, that you're not having to accuse yourself or judge yourself or condemn yourself, but because you have peace with God, you can be at peace with yourself. You're not a failure. You're a child of God at peace with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All the failure of the past is in the past. All that is under the blood of Jesus. It's who you are today that matters. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Purata paria leto bakala sataria leto bakala sitri santama. Basandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sutri santama. O pasata paria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sunda. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Now thank him that you can be at peace with others. If we're at peace with God, then we're to be at peace with one another. We're called to be at peace, especially in the household of faith. So just thank God that you can be at peace with every other person. If there's anyone that you need to make peace with, then you can do that at the end of this prayer time, if there's anyone here. But if there's anybody else that you really are not at peace about, then just pray for them now. Bless them. You know, don't start judging or condemning them for whatever situation that may be, but just pray for them. Pray the blessing of God upon them. Pray the love of God in their hearts. Pray that they will be at peace with you as well as you with them. There's an interesting scripture that says, seek to live at peace with everyone as far as that is possible. In other words, God knows sometimes others, you know, are not at peace, and that rebounds on us, and there's nothing we can do about that. But so long as you maintain your attitude of love, forgiveness, acceptance, peace, that's all you can do. So just thank God that by His mercy and grace, you can have that attitude of peace. You're not being upset. You're not being disturbed by what anybody else is doing or saying or thinking. You are who you are in Christ Jesus, at peace with Him. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Hallelujah. It's what He has said that matters. Praise you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. We praise your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Okay, now pray for these God appointments that you're going to have today, where God is going to just lead you, just put in front of you people who need peace. And this is going to lead to some great conversations. Don't be superficial. Don't make it sound as if, you know, like the wave of a magic wand, suddenly they will be at peace. Because that only comes when they've made their peace with God. But point them in the right direction. Hallelujah. Let them know where they will be able to find peace among God's people, those who know the peace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you pray for them to be forgiven so they know the peace, make sure they do the praying, not you. God will answer their prayer, not your prayer. It doesn't matter if people don't know how to pray. It might be a stumbling word, but let me tell you, the stumbling words of the sinner means much more than the nicely phrased prayer that you ask them to repeat after you. That would mean nothing to God if they're just repeating something like a parrot. But just to hear the stumbled words of someone who's never prayed before, God will answer that. God will answer that. Or just get them to talk to you about the things that disturb their peace. And then they don't have to repeat it all in prayer. Just say, well, you know, God's been listening to our conversation. And you can ask God now for the forgiveness that you need. And please just ask Him to forgive you for all these things you've been talking about. You know, leading people to the Lord is not a system. Every situation is unique. Every person is different. The way to approach each person is different. The way to pray with each person is different. Never get stuck in some system. Just trust the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do the right thing, say the right things in every situation. So we praise you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, Lord, for these people that are going to find peace. Even if our encounter with them today is just the first step towards this, thank you, Lord, that many people are going to come into your kingdom as a result of this today. Because this is a word that you have given. And when you give a word and we respond to it and we run with the word that you've given, then we know it's all going to work out. So we thank you for all the testimonies that are going to come out of today of how this word has just pointed people towards the peace that only you can give. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, just pray in the Spirit over those people that you will meet today. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, lead and guide each one. Each one of us today, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we carry the anointing wherever we go. Thank you that you will speak through us. Thank you will give us wisdom. Thank you, Lord, you will give us authority where that's necessary. Thank you, Lord, that we go with faith and we go in love and we go strengthened by that peace. And we praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Sarabataria leto bakalasato bakalasina. Baparia leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasita. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. Palataparia leto bakalasata balaturia leto bakalasita di sandaria. Vasandaria leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasita. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pura tabaria leto bakalasita di sandama. Vasandaria leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasita di sandama. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, you might want to point people to the fact, well, you know, if they come to church, they will find peace. It's not quite that simple, is it? Because you say to a non-believer, come to church on Sunday, and you're very unlikely to see many of them turn up. What we always found was much more effective is saying, can I call for you? Will you come with me? Because there's so much fear and insecurity, you see. They don't know where to go or what to do when they get there. And sometimes the act of love that we have to make is to go and call for them. Sunday morning may not be the best time for them, where they are in their thinking and lifestyle at present, 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you call for them at half past nine or whatever. That might not work for them. So it might be another time when you have to make yourself available. Because this is not just a job this morning or part of the college curriculum to go out in mission this morning. If you have that encounter, how are you going to follow it up? Or make sure that there will be others that are able to follow it up if you're not able to follow it up yourself. These are precious people for whom Christ died. Amen. So praise the Lord. It's going to be a good day. So let's just thank the Lord before we finish with this piece. Wonderful piece. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing the testimonies. You will have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.